Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first edition of the IITA Youth Entrepreneurs podcast series on understanding opportunities and emerging markets along the agricultural value chain during the coronavirus outbreak. My name is Adewoye Oluyemi Victory, and I will be your host for this event. Before I move forward to introduce our distinguished guest, let me give a quick summary about the IITA Youth Agripreneurs, which is popularly known as IYA. The IITA Agripreneur Initiative is a youth in agribusiness model that was established to address the issue of widespread youth unemployment and to provide a platform that propels youth towards self-employment in agriculture. This is achieved through mindset reorientation about agriculture, training to build technical and entrepreneurial skills, and agribusiness mentorship. To learn more about IYA, please visit our website at www.youthagripreneurs.org. We are glad that you took out time to listen to us today. We have distinguished founders, co-founders, and CEOs to discuss on the emerging markets and opportunities during these times, the tools to use in our agribusiness, and lots more. Today we have Ms. Oyindamola Ashaju. She is the founder of Farm Republic. She currently joined the World Hunger Fighters Foundation as a program analyst, bringing over 5 years' experience in youth, business, and program development. Ms. Oyindamola currently serves as a contributor to an international development and foresight groups. She loves to write and has a number of online articles. You're very much welcome, Ms. Oyindamola. It's good to have you here. Ms. Atinuke Lebiu is a vibrant lady with passion to address malnutrition and food insecurity through agriculture and its value chain. She is a co-founder and chief operating officer of Cattle Foods. She also serves as a strategist officer at Ogunmod Farms and Farmer Academy Limited. And she's also the founder of She A Greek Initiative, which is an NGO focusing on encouraging and empowering young women into the agricultural value chain and agribusiness. As a nutrition and health fortification ambassador, she advocates the need to consume nutritious and healthy foods that are very rich in micronutrients in homes, especially in the rural areas where malnutrition is more prevalent. Ms. Lebiu is an entrepreneur, business development coach, a post-harvest product development expert. As a graduate of agriculture science from University of Ilorin, Atinuke also has certificates in business and entrepreneurship from Purdue University, West Lafayette, Indiana, USA. She also has certification on enterprise management from the Enterprise Development Center, Lagos Business School, Nigeria. She is an alumni of Faith Foundation and a global ambassador at A World at School 2015 Global Alliance for Youth Leadership. She is also a 2016 Fellow of Young Africans Initiative West Africa, 2017 Mandela Washington Fellow, and a 2017-2018 Leap Africa Fellow, and 2019 Emerging Leaders from School Foundation. Atinuke enjoys focusing on the topics of malnutrition, especially among children and women, food security and agricultural value chain, and has strong passion for business and entrepreneurship, addressing malnutrition, as well as youth and women empowerment. You're very, very, very much welcome, Ms. Atinuke Lebiu. Mr. Olawale Rotimi is the founder and CEO of JR Farms, a leading African agribusiness with operations in Rwanda, Nigeria, and Zambia. He holds a Bachelor of Arts and Master's of Arts degree in Comparative Religions from the University of Ilorin, a certificate in Agribusiness Management from Lagos Business School, and currently is taking an Executive MBA in Food and Agribusiness in the Netherlands. He has addressed global platforms in Africa, America, and Europe on agriculture, rural development, and youth employment, which he is passionate about. He has consulted and advised government of nations and multilateral institutions in agribusiness. You're very much welcome, Mr. Olawale. It's good to have you here. Mr. Majid Tokura, who is our fourth guest here, is a growth strategist with over 10 years' experience in the agriculture and technology industry. His experience cuts across a broad range of marketing, operations and communication functions. He is a co-founder at WeMove Technologies Limited, which is a technology business building innovative solutions for transportation and logistics-reliant businesses. He is passionate about the technology revolution within the agricultural value chain industry, and his work at WeMove Technologies focuses on innovations around transportation and logistics offerings for farmers, agro-dealers, manufacturing, and other retail clients. Majid also helps procurement, supply chain professionals, and SMEs to adopt new innovative methods to transportation and logistics management. As an agri-tech advocate, Majid is committed to ensuring agripreneurs adopt new innovative methods towards agriculture in Africa. In 2017, he became a Yali Regional Leadership Center Fellow for Emerging African Leaders. He is also a member of the National Working Group of Young Professionals for Agricultural Development in Nigeria. You're very, very much welcome, Mr. Majid, and thank you everyone for joining us today. Hey, you're welcome, everyone. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Good morning.
Okay, so very quickly, would like to hear from you. Earlier on, your profile was read to our audience, but we'd like to have the podcast audience have a good understanding of what your business is about before we go into proper discussion. So please, we'll start with you, Atinuke. Tell us a bit about your business.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Atinuke, and I'm the co-founder of Cattle Foods. So Cattle Foods is a fast-growing food company that is addressing malnutrition, eating hunger, and food insecurity through post-harvest processing of cassava, and majorly bio-fortified cassava into several value-added products like normal garri, custard, powder fufu, and all. So we are basically into addressing malnutrition, especially in children and pregnant women. Thank you.
Okay. Majid, please, can we hear from you? Can you tell us a bit about your business?
Okay, I'm Majid, co-founder of WeMove Technologies. We play around transportation and logistics value chain. What we do is we have a product called WeMove.io, where the general public can access transportation services once they go to WeMove.io. It basically works like a vehicle and truck hire marketplace for the general public to hire vehicles. We have business relationship with a couple of FMCGs, where we help move their produce from the manufacturer to their consumers. So how we play within the value chain is I basically a technology company that provides solutions to move products and services from the lower end of the value chain, from the farmers via production to the consumers. So that's basically it.
Okay, thank you very much. Rotimi, please, can we hear from you?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Olawale Rotimi Opoyemi, the founder of GR Farms. We are into the processing of cassava and coffee. We have five cardinal goals, which is to ensure food security, create decent jobs for women and youth, and longer add value to agro materials, and then raise the next gen of agrarian leaders. We operate in three countries for now, and look forward to learning as I interact with on this podcast.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Please, I would like for our distinguished guests to please try to mute they are speakers, so they don't like interrupt when other people are talking. I can see we've done that. Thank you very much. So the first question I'd like to address that to Rotimi. How has the COVID-19 pandemic changed your business operations, especially since you're not functioning in Nigeria alone? You have to work in, like, I believe, Nigeria, Rwanda, and some other country.
It's quite more on the logistics side. It's now really difficult for us to move our shipment from country to country. We have limited options now, and then the limited options are really expensive. So I think largely it's affecting us from that angle. More also because of the lockdown, our coffee shop chains, we have 5 of them in Nigeria. They are all closed now because of the lockdown. But on the other side, the cassava value chain seems to be booming now because we produce a staple food that everyone wants to consume now. So, and as we know that there's an abnormal demand now for staple food. So on the other side, that is going fine. But for the other side, logistics-wise, it's really affected movement of commodities. The prices are escalating and the options are very limited. Yeah.
Okay. So how have you adjusted your business to this change that has happened? Has it affected you? You told us how it has affected you, but how have you adjusted your operations, your personnel and all that to that? Yeah.
Like I said, part of the adjustment is closing down the coffee shops. Also, we have reduced production of coffee for now, because the demand shrank, as most of our customers, so like hotel chains, they are not also functional, or they are operating at very low load. So we have reduced the operations. Also, we have put some of our workforce, particularly in the coffee side, we have to place them on paid leave from last month after paying the previous month's salary. Yeah, because the earnings for the coffee now is really gone down, while the cassava value chain is up. So yeah, so for that we have reduced production of coffee. Closed down the coffee shop. We have tried to do our staff communication. We have usually monthly staff meeting. Now we physically, but now we try to connect online to talk to each other. And yeah, so those are the few adjustments we have done so far.
Okay, I think that's really interesting conversation right there. Thank you very much. I believe while we were going on, Oyin joined us. She was not with us from the start. So I'd like her to just explain to us what her business is about. Oyin Damola. Okay, I think we lost her again, so we'll just move on. So from what you said, Rotimi, it appears that the impact of this COVID-19 is more value chain specific. So while people can decide to do away with maybe coffee for this time period, they are very important staple foods that people cannot avoid at this period, like cassava, like you mentioned. That's a very interesting thing to note for all of us. So, Ms. Atinuke, please, can you explain to us how COVID has affected your business being in the cassava value chain as well?
All right. Thank you, Liemi. I'll just start from where Olawale stopped. So, to buttress the issue of logistics, it has really been a very, very big issue. Especially when you're trying to send an order to through interstate, and when it's not a big order, like it's not a huge order, so it's come something that's quite very expensive. Then another issue in the area of that is the prices of raw materials, like the price of cassava right now, because it's staple food, like I said, that people are really now rushing into. The price it has skyrocketed to like times two of what it used to be, and this is actually one of the major issues, because looking at people who are at home right now, without money. There are not any at the moment. And for us to produce this major staple food like Gary, and if we're going to be selling at the price, looking at the price of cassava right now, like how many vulnerables or how many people in rural areas can actually afford that at this moment if we're not looking into the major urban cities? Then even access to raw materials itself, because one of the major issues that we faced, I think last week, was these drivers telling us that they can't go to get these raw materials because police are stopping them, collecting money from them, or seizing their vehicles and all that. But we've been able to address that because we were able to get a pass ticket from the state government that we actually use for these drivers, or if you want to go to the factory or try to go out to get something. So this is the pass that we use. So one of the staff have to follow the driver just to show the policemen the passes that was issued by the state government for us. And we also ensure that all our staffs uses their ID card whenever they're coming to work. So that actually helps us to reduce the access to raw materials and also staffs coming to work. So access to raw material, price of raw materials and logistics has been one of the major issues. Thank you.
If I get your points very clearly, it means that we have an issue of logistics, and then we also have an issue of farmers increasing the price of their products, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then one thing I also picked for entrepreneurs to note is they have to find a means of identification for themselves so that they can have like this pass that will enable them to move around during this period so they can keep on doing what they do the best. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for sharing that. Okay, we have Miss Oyindamola on the line now. Please, I guess due to some network issues, you were not able to join us, but we started already. And I would like you to just give us a quick summary about what your business is about. So you have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much. Farm Republic helps to address market gaps along the agricultural value chain. And then with this, we have about three products that allows people to invest in agriculture, manage their farms, and also market their produce. The sole aim of all of this is to reduce post-harvest losses and create jobs for young people. That's what Farm Republic is really about.
Thank you very much. So moving ahead, I would like you to tell us, how has the COVID-19 affected your business operations and then maybe your clientele? How have they adjusted to the COVID-19 situation?
Okay, most of what we do in Farm Republic is field work. You know, we have a public farm where we pull funds from individuals, and then we start up a farm, and then at the end of a certain period of time, they get returns on their investments. And we also have private farms that we help to manage for individuals. Like someone comes to us and says, I have a piece of land and I want to manage a farm. So because of the restrictions in the interstate movements and even movements within various states across Nigeria now, we are limited. We are not able to travel in some cases and go anywhere at all, especially for the safety of staff of Farm Republic and even the safety of workers that might want to come with us. So it has really affected our business in the sense that we are not able to take on any projects, we are not able to take on any form of consultancy, especially those that have to do with managing farms, which is a bulk of our operations at the moment. So right now we are just hopeful that this phase will pass as soon as possible, because for now we are unable to take on any projects.
Thank you very much. Majid, please, can you share with us how the COVID-19 has affected your business? You seem to be the one service provider that everyone needs. So tell us if it has affected you negatively or it has affected you positively.
there's not, this COVID-19 has affected almost all businesses, including the supply chain. There's a total colossal disruption of supply chain processes globally, both for export and for internet trade. The lockdown situation has affected movement of people and also movement of goods. For the operational aspect of the business, it has affected limited operation for essential and non-essential staffs. So from last month, towards the end of last month, we had to let go of staff who are not critical to the business of supply chain. And what we had to do was, towards the beginning of the lockdown, we had initial challenge of movement of staff to factories, location. So at the initial, we had that challenge, and what we did was we struggled to maneuver the lockdown situations to ensure business still moved. But essentially, where this COVID-19 has affected us is basically disruption of the movements within the free flow of movement within the supply chain, and also it has affected demand of people who would need these services. By affecting demand, it also affected prices of normally, based on normal demand, we can do it for a particular price, but because of the lockdown, there has been increase in price of transportation movements. So overall, how the COVID-19 has affected us is basically the lockdown situations has affected free flow of movement of goods, and recently the pending total lockdown would affect interstate movement of goods for us. So basically what we have been doing for now is within factories or companies who have operations for essential goods, what we are currently doing is warehouse transfers for their products. In terms of interstate transfers, has been totally affected. Even with the fact that the government is saying essential commodities, we still find situations where security personnel still harass, and you have to settle with bribe. So, in terms of the COVID-19 implementation of more still has to be done by the federal government in terms of the presidential task force of COVID-19 to ensure synergies between the stakeholders involved within the response to essential commodities movements, to work together to ensure free flow of movement of goods across internal trade and that. So that's it. It has affected demand, disrupted movements, and due to lack of synergies between stakeholders, it's affecting free flow of movement of goods.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Additional question for you. How does your business model work? Do you have your own vehicles that you use to transport these goods from one place to another? Because I'm trying to let our audience at least have an understanding of why these prices have increased or changed. Going to the fact that this period, we know that there's been like a decline or a reduction in the price for maybe the oil, for the fuel that we use as we move our vehicles. So do you have your own vehicles transport those goods from one place to another, or you have your business model permits you to use other people, use their own vehicles to transport from one place to another?
So basically, when we started, we started as a technology company. So what we have is a technology backbone, more or less like a marketplace, vehicle hire marketplace. So we at inception in January 2018, we had 350 plus partners and who have access to over 2,000 vehicles within their operations. So how we work is we work with partners who are individuals and companies who run their own individual operation. What we do is we channel these requests to various transportation companies, and we rate them based on the quality of service, the type of service in which they offer. So that's basically how we operate. We do not have our vehicles, but we work as a platform, as an online marketplace, where we link demand with supply.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. So I would like to hear from you, Rotimi. What opportunities do you think exist, or what emerging markets can come out as a result of this COVID-19 crisis, especially since we know that many of farm owners may not be able to function optimally during this period? How can maybe young entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, take advantage of some existing opportunities along the value chain to plug themselves in at this point in time?
I think the opportunities we see now is more on the supply chain. Entrepreneurs can easily create a supply chain to move stuff from factories, from farm to farmers, because one of the biggest challenge, like I told you, we face now is logistics. Even locally, we've had to pay sometimes triple what we used to pay before. And now demands, for example, now we do large volume of cassava, Gary rather, to the market. For example, now we have people who are requesting, oh, can I get 10 bags? Can I get 15? We don't work on that scale, but I think it's an opportunity for entrepreneurs also to work with factories like ours and other bigger factories on supply chain. So I think that there's a huge opportunity in the supply chain now for entrepreneurs who wish to tap into it to connect with end users. Yeah, and I think in the logistic arm also, interestingly, we have not had to experience any problem with movement. In line with the security agent, so far my movement to the factory, movement of our trucks also, it's been seamless at every point. We've enjoyed cooperation from the security agent. So, yeah, I think in the logistic arm also there's also opportunity for but also, I think now we need to focus more on food production locally, because now most of the imported food, you know, nations are beginning to reserve their food, level. Nations who are really producing food now are finding it difficult to export, and they are also trying to, you know, put a lot of reserve because they don't know how far this COVID will go. So there may be shortage of food locally. I mean, the food we import, like let's say rice and other processed food. So I think in the long term, this is telling us to look internally and begin to produce more food. We need to be self-sustaining as far as food is concerned as a nation. Otherwise, if we have to face this kind of problem anytime, then we would be faced with food challenge. So I think one major opportunity also is looking at producing more food locally, processed food locally, which I think entrepreneurs can really look into. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Atinuke, please, can you share insights as to the opportunities available for entrepreneurs this period?
So one of the opportunities I can actually talk about right now is e-commerce. So entrepreneurs need to leverage on e-commerce platforms. We need to start making use of our social media, internet to promote our businesses and to reach our customers. Because a lot of people are tending towards that, and we really need to take that advantage. Also, in the area of logistics, like, we can't just stop talking about agro logistics. Even apart from our own personal businesses, we have farmers who have products and cannot even transport this to where it's being needed. So we have to look at this area, because when those things are not being transported, or when these crops are not being transported, you know it goes to waste, and this can lead to food crisis and all. Then you can see that this pandemic is making everybody think and tend towards agriculture at this time. And we know that now that everybody's looking at agriculture, even the government and all of that, we definitely have our big coaches, our big mentors, people coming out to talk about agriculture in different ways, even without the knowledge of agriculture itself. So I think now we really need to position ourselves in our own sectors, and so that we could attract investors, we could attract people to learn from us. And also another opportunity I'm also seeing now is we also need to think of survival around our immediate environment of operation. So even if the interstate is giving us issues, interstate transportation of goods is giving us issues, then we really need to look into our immediate environment to look at immediate needs and see how we can meet that. So I think that is one of the opportunities, and those are the opportunities that I see in this period.
Okay. Thank you very much. Owen, I know Farm Republic does some form of, has an investment platform that helps people to invest in agriculture. Judging by the way your business has been impacted by this COVID period, how easy do you think it will be to raise investments for agriculture at this point in time?
Thank you, Yemi. Please confirm you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you very clearly. Thank you.
Okay, great. We have been seriously affected by this because a lot of people are thinking about the possibility of the investment itself failing due to the challenges that we face. So at the moment, we've actually put our investment cycle on hold because it is important for us that our clients trust us. I mean, we don't want to take too much on us because there's a lot of uncertainty.
Hello?
On how to work in order to sustain Farm Republic as a business, because Farm Republic is not just about investment. So we have other areas of strength that we believe that we can key into. And for what is going on, the kind of opportunities that we see, not just for ourselves, but for other entrepreneurs who are looking into going into agribusiness, is building solutions around farm fresh products. Farm fresh products at this period in time have taken a serious hit because of the lack of storage facilities, because factories are not able to work, and in most cases, there are not even enough factories. So for someone who is trying to go into agribusiness post-COVID now, or should already be thinking about it, I think people should start looking into cold storage facilities, because a lot of farm produce are going to waste because these people do not have the right facility to preserve. So imagine if you have this cold storage facility somewhere in a farming community or in a marketplace. Farmers are able to preserve these items at a particular cost, and that way you can also make money. Also, you realize that, or we have come to realize that, the farmers or agripreneurs have limited cash flow. And that is why Within 1 month or 2 months, we are unable to sustain a lot of our workers or a lot of our operations because of what is going on. So I think finance is also important, where farmers are able to access money at low interest rates and even having quick loans with low entry. What I mean is a farmer needs maybe 50,000 naira, as low as 50,000 naira, and then the farmer is guaranteed to get that money as fast as possible, but with interest rate. I mean, which farmer will not jump at the opportunity? Because this has gone to show that our cash flow is very, very low. And just this morning, I was looking at, I saw an ad by Eco Hotel and Suites that is known for luxury and all of those things. And they were advertising food delivery. I was really surprised. I think that is what it means to step into an emerging market, because we all need to digitalize our operations, how people communicate with us, how we sell our products, how people can contact us. As much as possible, we need to go digital. And there's this saying, you adapt or you die. It's either your business adapts to the changes that are coming or the business will die. It's either the business evolves or the business will be kicked out. So it's important that we build solutions around farm fresh products. We build solutions, financial solutions for farmers so that they are able to access funds very easily, and also digitalize as much as possible. That's what I think. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Oyindamola. That was very insightful. From what you said, it means that an entrepreneur that wants to go into agriculture at this point in time will most likely have to rely on his own personal savings or maybe government relief funds for agriculture during this period. I think that's something that entrepreneurs should note at this period. So moving to Majid, from all our discussion, everything has pointed to the great opportunities available in the logistics part of the value chain. Can you try to give us insights as to how this can work for an entrepreneur willing to plug into this opportunity? For example, I have a car right now. How can I work my way through to help supporting businesses at this point? Getting maybe, let me not start to give the answers. Let me listen to you since you are the expert. Just give us an idea of how you believe young entrepreneurs can start to do this logistics to support agriculture during this period.
One of the things we are doing within this space is to work with state governments to ensure food is being moved during this period. The effect of COVID-19 is huge, because you have to battle between the hunger problem versus the health problem. If we look at it in terms of the way the virus is being handled, small businesses, governments, and the consumers have to estimate a timeline in which their current income can sustain them, pending when the COVID-19 passes through. For the people who depend on daily wage, we discovered that the timeline for them to survive this COVID-19 and go into the acute hunger stage is very low. So in the space of 5 days to a month, they begin to feel the impact of hunger. One of the things we are doing is to work with state government. We are currently in discussion with Ogun State government to see how we can work towards the 2020 farming season to provide logistics for them. So supply chain, how individuals can earn an income from the supply chain is those who already have assets in vehicular assets can come on board our platform. Since we are working with the government, then there will definitely be demand for goods being moved. So they can come on our platform and we can assure them of steady demand for movement for the use of their vehicle, and they can earn extra income. for SMEs, the challenge is great because if you don't have pending capital on ground, you can't really invest during this period. There are different categories of SMEs, those who have assets, which they have on ground, which they can use to turn to cash, while there are others, they don't have the required assets for them to make money off this period. So it's an interesting time whereby all the stakeholders, governments, private institutions, SMEs, have to come together, form public-private partnerships to ensure that they scale through the process, both at supply chain and at food value chains. Ways that other SMEs who are not involved within the supply chain can play active is diversifying into processing and creating value because of the effects of food wastage. They are not because of how expensive logistics is. If you are moving your goods over a large from farm to market, the critical role of the agro dealers, the middlemen, the people who take those produce from the farmers, is those are the people who make gain. For the farmers during this period, they can't make gain. So the effect is their goods get wasted. So the opportunities for them is to invest in value chain processing of their goods. Within the supply chain, the transporters, where they can make gain from the value chain is to collaborate with government and, like I said, PPP, private public partnerships, to ensure that they are in business. Or else, if this COVID-19 exceeds towards a range of 6 months, without palliatives from government in terms of loans, grants, finance, and other international developmental organizations, most businesses will die. That's the truth. So as far as most of us are trying to drag through the process, but it's an opportunity for us to come together and identify opportunities for collaborations in order to scale through. Through the COVID-19, very few businesses will make profits. The only businesses who are going to make profits are those who already have infrastructures which they have built over time. And those are manufacturing companies who, I think everybody, even manufacturing companies, run at a loss because they can't deliver their goods. So in summary, the opportunities for within the supply chain is for private public partnerships. Those who have assets can link up with technology platforms like WeMove and partner with them. Partner with governments in order to ensure they are still in business. Thank you.
Thank you. Follow-up question to that. What is the scope of your operations within Nigeria? Do you function in all 36 states and the FCT? I mean, that if people listening will want to like plug into what you said.
Yes, we function in 20 states in Nigeria. We are also active in Kenya, Zimbabwe, and Ghana. So we recently opened up Zimbabwe and Kenya. So we are operational in 20 states in Nigeria. Two weeks back or last week, we had a request for somebody moving 20 trailers of rice from Kebbi State to Calabar. So we are very much on ground in 20 states in Nigeria.
Thank you very much. Our time is fast spent and we would not be able to go into other details, but I would like each of our hosts, thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate you, but can you give us like one final word, one final state, concluding remarks on anything you want our audience to know, entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, pre-starter entrepreneurs? I'll start with Oyin Damola, you have the floor.
Thank you, Yemi. I think it's important for entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs, like you said, to look first at their community, because you'd see the loopholes there, you see the opportunities that you could actually tap into. There's no need to look 10 miles away. The opportunities are right there in your community. It can be the market, it can be finance, it can be providing a storage facility, it can be helping people actually manage their farms. So the opportunities are just right there with you. So look into your community and tap into every opportunity that you see. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rotimi, please, can you share with us?
I would align with what she said. Also, just look out for opportunities, and see how you can tap into it. More importantly, we pray and we expect that this phase of our livelihood pass so quickly, and then life can return to normalcy. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Atinuke.
Thank you, Yemi. One major thing I would like to say is collaboration and networking. This is not a time to just stay on your own or try to build your own nest without looking outside, or without looking for people who are going ahead of you, or without looking at people who you can collaborate with. Like, I'm already thinking of collaborating with Rotimi on this platform. And it's something that we really, as a young entrepreneurs, we really need to look out to see how we can collaborate with other people, network. And also, like Oinda Mola said, we need to go digital. So this is not the time to just sit down and start thinking of the way everything is, but we need to go digital. People really need to know what we're doing, and people really need to see how the way you are strategizing your business at this time. So I think we need to collaborate more, we need to network more, and we need to go digital. Thank you.
Thank you. Majid, please, can we hear from you? Hello?
Okay, so I'm working towards more collaborations within businesses. Like Atinuke said, more businesses should come together and collaborate towards partnerships and partnerships opportunity. So that's it. For the 2020 farming season, there is nothing much can do. We can only depend on policies from the federal government that would help us scale through the process. A lot within the agricultural value chain, the farmers are the ones that are being hit the most. So for now, all we need to do is identify opportunities and collaborate more to ensure we scale through this season.
Thank you very much. On a final note, I would like to thank each and every one of you. It's been an interesting time listening to your experiences and how you've been able to adapt your businesses during this period. I'm sure our podcast audience will be very much, the information will be very much beneficial to them. So thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.